Please rise for the reading of God's Word. Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 17, 16 to 23. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all of the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." This is the word of the Lord. You guys may all be seated.
Good morning, church. Okay. I don't know how many of you live in Richmond. Nobody. Okay. So in Richmond, there is a street called Highway to Heaven. Have you ever heard of that? Highway to Heaven. So the first time I heard of it, I thought it's a highway that a lot of people get killed in car accidents. They all go to heaven. So I was thinking maybe it should also be called Highway to Heaven or Hell. Right? But then later on, I found that it is not a highway. It is a road number five road in Richmond, called Highway of Heaven. It's not to heaven. It's Highway of Heaven. So Highway of Heaven, The whole row, number five row, is all lined up with religious institutions, churches, mosques. There's a evangelical free church, left top corner there, and there's a mosque, and then there's a Muslim academic institution. So it's all kinds of religious organizations along that number five row. So people call it Highway of Heaven. So you go there, you can find heaven, you can find God, you can find the truth. So this morning, we're going to look at Paul when he arrived at Athens. So in the past few chapters, I've shared with you, Paul is kind of a bit like David, King David, that I preached on last year, 1st and 2nd Samuel. So David was always under persecution, was always running away from Saul, and he's always worried about his life. And the Apostle Paul is a little bit kind of like that, except in a different aspect. So when Paul went to a town, to a synagogue to share the gospel, there are a lot of people would believe, but then there are a lot of people would against him. Last time I shared that the story, it's a real story, that they stoned Paul almost to death, and they thought that he's dead, so they threw him out of the city, you know, from Vancouver to Burnaby, and then let him, they assumed that he's already dead, so they just let him rot there. It's terrible people. But this time, Paul went to a city, Athens, where it is totally different, where people there are really religious. People there, they like to listen, they like to hear, they like to explore, and it is kind of, it's a totally different city. So in Athens, Paul has all the opportunity to share the good news, and there was no persecution for a change. Kind of a little bit like our city, Vancouver here. It is a free city. Maybe it's too much freedom. It's really free to do things as long as it's not against the law. You can get a very good university here, UBC. There are a lot of colleges, universities. And it is a place where people learn. A lot of international students come to Canada. I read that there's almost a million international students in Canada, even though they're trying to cap it to 350,000. But there's still a lot of students already here. So there's lots of students from all over the world come here to learn, to exchange ideas. So the city of Vancouver is kind of like that. It's a really free place for people to share their thinking. When Paul went to this city, he was greatly distressed. It is a city of a lot of freedom to talk, to share ideas, belief, philosophies. But yet, Paul was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. There was a saying that in Athens, there are more gods than men, and there's idols everywhere. But our city, the place where we live in, is also like that. Sometimes we think that people in this city are not interested in religion. So we very seldom share the gospel. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is, which you are proclaiming, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. So we want to know what this means." So it is a city where people like to hear new things, new ideas. It is a place of innovation today, we will say. Like in Vancouver here, there are a lot of high-tech companies in Burnaby, or even in Vancouver. It's a place where we learn and explore. So that the people there also, they want to hear what Paul has to say. So it's a totally a different environment for the Apostle Paul. Very often we don't like to share gospels, especially as Canadians. We feel that sharing the gospel is like forcing someone to accept your faith. And we always assume that the people around us are not interested in knowing about our faith. So there's a professor in Lethbridge University, and he has been doing research on the belief, the religious belief of Canadians for the last 40 years. He first put out his study. This is a Dr. Beebe from the Lethbridge University. So he's starting to release his studies in 1985. He asked four questions to the general public. And the first question is, yes, I definitely do believe in God. The second question is, yes, I think so. And then the next two questions is, no, I do not believe, I do not think so. I do not think there's a God. And the last question number four is, no, I definitely do not believe in God. So he asked these four questions to the general public. So he's been tracking the Canadians, how they respond to the existence of God. And in 1920, he released a study, and it's saying that God is still doing recently well in the polls, because in Canada, 59% of the people would check question one or two that they believe there is a God. So it is to our surprise. We think that our colleagues, our classmates, our friends, nowadays, people around us, they don't believe in the God anymore. It is not true. So the author of this survey said that God is still doing not too bad in Canada. Over half the people in Canada, they still believe there is a God. They may not know which one for some of them. So we should not be too shy, shy in sharing our faith and assuming that people around us, my classmates, will not be interested in knowing my God. It is not true. Even though BC is right at the bottom there, I don't know why. Alberta is even worse. I thought there are a lot of churches in Alberta, but Alberta is at the bottom, 54%. But still a lot of people, they, in the heart, they know that they believe that there is a God, but they don't know who this God is, where they could find this God. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects." So we find that the people in the city there, they're very religious, kind of like Canadians. They still believe, think there's a God. They're very religious, but yet not spiritual. They're very religious. They want to know who is God. They want to find this God. So they create a lot of idols. So in the city there, even today, we have discovered some of this altar. It's called To an Unknown God. "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship," so they worship, even though they don't know the true God they worship, "and I found an altar with the inscription, 'To an Unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." So they worry that they may miss a God. There are many idols everywhere. They probably have a street that's full of idols and streets to heaven, off heaven. They want to worship all the gods they can think of, that they can create by their hands. So they worry that they make sure that they don't miss any unknown God. So they created an altar called To an Unknown God. So the miscellaneous gods. So they will not miss any. So when we are young as students, I think we sometimes have this experience. So when we pray the days before, the night before the exam, so God, please help me. And I'm doing my math 101 exam this week, and then physics 120 on Wednesday, and then chemistry. In case I miss any subject, please bless me, make sure that I pass, get A in all the subjects, even the one I did not ask. I don't know your experience there. I think I did that when I was in school. God, please bless me in case I forget to pray. No, just because I forget doesn't mean that I don't need an A in the subject. So the people in the city, they're like that. So just to make sure that they did not miss any idols, God, so they said, okay, so we make an altar. All the rest of the gods, the miscellaneous, to an unknown. They don't even know who this God is. So they created an altar. So many years ago, when there are a lot of people joined all this tour to visit China, so there must be 15, 20 years ago. So Cynthia and I joined a tour group from Canada, Vancouver here to China. So it's a tour. So there's the whole bus is full of tourists from Canada. So one time we stop at they always take us to places that we don't really want to go to for some obvious reasons. So they drop us at this huge temple. So everybody got off the bus and rush in there and then start pay to buy incense and start worshiping that idol there. So I look around and then I ask one of the people from our tour group, said that, "No, what God, what religion is this? Is it Confucius, Buddhist, or Taoist?" It doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't know this. Who are we worshiping? But we don't want to miss any any God. Now, since we stop here, we better buy some incense and worship. We don't want to miss any God, otherwise we may get into trouble. Is that okay? So it's kind of like that, isn't it? Things haven't changed. Today here, we may not most of us are Christians, but we worship in this city here, people are worshiping different idols, religious. They're trying to find a God, or we worship other things, like material things. In Vancouver is a city that we're not lack of any material things, many expensive stores in downtown. So one time I have a friend from China visiting us, and we took them down to the Robson Street, where from China they like to visit all those stores. I said, wow, everything here is so cheap. I look at it, it's not really cheap to me. Everything is so cheap. So if he picked up one thing and says, oh, this is free. He says, nothing here is free. Right? It's on sale. So to us, when it's on sale, it's free. I said, really? I look at it, wow. But people may not worship idols, but they have different kind of idols. But brothers and sisters, in our hearts, we most of us are Christians here. We may think that we don't have any idols. We're not worshiping any idol. We are worshiping the true God. But in fact, we may be in our hearts, there are other idols, material things. Maybe even our children, our career, money, car. Not happy with your Toyota. Want to buy a more fancy car, your Corolla. Maybe there are other things, fame, power, other things in our hearts become our idols. So the people that Paul is trying to help there, they're trying to find this God, but yet they could not. Even they are wise people of that time, they could not. Why? They don't even know where they could find this God. Plato said, it is hard to investigate and to find the framer and the father of the universe. Even very intelligent people, philosophers, they could not find and discover who this God is. Aristotle. God is the supreme good, and therefore by no man known. God is so good, so perfect. How can we, imperfect people, human, man, can find this God? But yet Paul said that, therefore what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. So Paul said that I now tell you who this real God is, the God who made the world and all things in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needs anything. This God is the God of creation. He's the creator. He creates everything in this world. So he doesn't need us to place him inside a temple. He doesn't need us to put him into an idol that we created, because he is the creator of all. He is this hand that who made us, give us life. And we do not have to use our hand to make an idol to worship, to put him in there. He's the one who gives life to all people. He's the life giver. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. As we come here to worship our God this morning, let us think of him. Remember, he is the one who created the universe, everything on earth, the earth, and everything on it, he created. Sometimes when we come to church, we may feel like we are just coming to a routine because we have to come to worship just on Sundays, but that's our responsibility, obligation as a Christian. That's actually a good start. Some Christians don't even have that feeling of obligation, have to worship. So we come here, but it's more than an obligation, more than a weekly routine. It is we come here to worship Him because He is the Creator. He's the Creator. He created everything. So that we come here just to admire, to give what is worth back to Him, that He created everything. He created the earth and everything on it. And He gives life to people, to all of us. We may be able to create many idols. If you go to China, you see a lot of these huge idols. I don't know how long it took them to build this idol on a mountain. Must be years. Even with machineries, it will take years to create this idol. But this thing may look magnificent as a structure, but it has no life, isn't it? People cannot create life. We cannot create grass. Even though it looks so weak, but we cannot create grass because that's life. We cannot create life. Life comes from God. So it is a reminder as we come and worship, our breath, our life comes from Him. So we come to God's temple, come to this sanctuary, come to church to worship, because He gives us life, not just at birth, but every day. He's sustaining our life. He also, as verse 26 said, this will be 26, and He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of earth, having determined that upon the times and the boundaries of their habitation. Upon the time. So this morning you're here, or you're in this place. Some of us are immigrants. We come here from other places, Philippines, Hong Kong, Vietnam, other countries. But God has His timing, having determined the appointed time. Time is controlled by God. We are not here by accident. So you, at this place here, in this country, in this, when I look back, I came to Canada when I was young. I spent most of my life here. I studied here. I finished high school here. When I look back, you know, God has His plan. So sometimes we wonder, how come there's so much suffering going on? When would all these wars in the Middle East, in Europe, will end? Every morning, every Sunday, we come here, we pray for world peace. Every Wednesday, the countdown is of a prayer meeting. Every Wednesday, we always pray for peace. But peace seems to be so far away. So we sometimes question, did God fall asleep? What happened? But here, very clearly, tells us God controls the timing. There's a time for everything. It haven't happened because the timing is not here yet. It's not God's timing yet. And God also controls the boundaries of their habitation. That means where we are. The fact that you are here today, there's a reason for it. I don't know what God's reason for you to be here, but at this moment is to worship Him. Right? But in this city, this place, right, God did not put you into Alberta or into some other places. Only you would know from God's will. So we need to pray. But the fact that we're here in this city, in this country, God has a purpose. Recently, in the last 2 years, our church has welcomed a lot of newcomers from Hong Kong, over 100 in the Cantonese congregation. Also, a lot from the Mandarin congregation, a lot of newcomers. Many of them came and they are, sometimes they worry. Sometimes they are frustrated. Sometimes they don't, especially if they could not find work. And sometimes they wonder if they made the right decision to come here, to give up their profession from the place they came from. Some of them are engineers, in the medical area. But many of them have to give up their profession to come here. Sometimes they wonder, so they share with me, you know, Pastor Norman, did I make the right decision? I said, well, pray to God. God has his timing, but also he controls where we are. He has a plan, the boundaries of their habitation. So today we are here at this, in this church, and God has a reason for you. You need to ask God, what is his purpose for you to be here? And as this morning we come here, we contemplate, Paul is not only preaching to the people in his time, he's also preaching to us today that this God is our creator. This God, he gave us lives even today. And this God, he controls our time, our timing. There's a reason why he put us here. This God is so great, so magnificent, but yet he is so close and near to us. Since his days are determined, the number of his month is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. He controls our life, but yet he also lives within us. That they would seek God, if perhaps they may look for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. This God is so magnificent. He creates the universe. It seems to be so far away. As we sit here this morning, you may wonder, where is God? But here, God is, Paul told us, God is very close to us. Sometimes people come and ask me, non-believers, they say, Pastor Norman, if you can prove to me, show me that God exists, then I will believe. You cannot see God. How can you believe a God that you cannot see, cannot feel? So sometimes when I share the gospel with non-Christians, this is one of the common questions. If you can show me God, well, people in the New Testament, they can see Jesus, so they believe. But today, I don't see any Jesus. How could I believe? Something that I cannot see. So I would ask, you know, do you believe that you have a soul and a spirit? He said, yes. Otherwise, I'd be a dead body. Right? You don't have a soul or a spirit. But can you see your spirit and your soul? He said, no. Did you bring your soul and your spirit to church this morning? Said, of course. Did you forget and left it at home? No. I always have the soul, spirit. But can any of you see your soul and spirit? Yet you believe and you know. Right? God is not, we cannot see, but it's not far away from us. And theoretical physics suggested that there could be 10, 11 dimensions. And I believe it is possible. Right? We have four dimensions, including time here. But our soul, our mind, is obviously not within these four dimensions. It is in another dimension. At least there's a fifth dimension, but we don't know what it is. We all know that we have this spirit, mind, soul, but we cannot see it. So God is like that, beyond our four dimensions, so we cannot see, but yet he is not far from each one of you. So as you are sitting here, God is right next to you. So you're sitting here, say that the sermon is so long this morning, so boring. Hey, God hears that. So don't say it too loud in your heart. God is within you. He is a God who created the universe, is so high above, is so grand, so great, so powerful, but yet, he is so close, he is right here within you. Isn't this a marvelous, wonderful God? So that's why we have to worship him. My professor from Regent in the older days, the vice principal of Regent College at that time, Dr. Carl Armaden, he said, worship is the overflow of the heart that asks nothing of God. So when we come here to worship, it's not because we want something from him. It's not because we have to lead singing this morning. because we have to be here to be the usher. We have to be here to say a prayer. So I have to come. I have to come here because I have to come here as a Christian. Every Sunday, I have to come to church. But we come here to worship. It's because it's the overflow of our heart for God. Not because we come here to ask for blessings. We worry that, no, you don't come here, God may give me some trouble, may punish me. No. Our God is so great. He's high above. So magnificent. He gives us life even today, right at this moment. This last few days, I changed the battery in one of our clocks in the living room. We stopped it, so I had to replace the battery. But can you imagine your heart keep pumping for 70, 80 years? You never need to stop. Oh, can I stop? Let me change the battery. Right? Stop. Tonight, I'm going to stop my heart and give me some injection of energy. We charge our heart like our cell phone. No, just keep pumping until our time comes. And then God will say that. That's it. Right? This is how long is that for? Isn't it wonderful? God gave us life. And we come here to worship just because He is so wonderful. He is our God. So worship is the overflow of the heart that asks nothing of God. We come here to worship because He is God. For in Him we live and move and exist. We're like a fish in the water. Right? We are like a fish in the water. The fish has to be in the water to live, to swim. Right? We have to be in God, like a fish, to live, to move. Right? If a fish that's out of the water, it becomes a dead fish. Becomes a salty fish. In Chinese, we like salty fish. Right? We become a salty fish. So if we are outside God, away from God, then we live and we move and we become a salty fish. Then dry. It becomes spiritually dry. Isn't our God wonderful? He is so powerful and yet is so close to us. He's like our Father. Being then the children of God. So Paul started from that God created everything. He gives us life. From to God is not far away from you. That's why you have to worship. Because we are His children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. We are His children. So we don't have to create all these man-made idols to put Him in there. He's like our Father. He's so powerful, so high up, yet He is like our Father to us. Soon we all come and worship Him, not just Sunday, but every day of our life. So we have to repent, so Paul said to the people around him, but also to us. We have to repent. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to man that all people everywhere should repent. We have to repent. Even Christians, we have to repent. It's our heart longing for God. Are we longing to come to worship Him every Sunday? I do. I look forward to come here to worship, not just because I have to come here to work, but I look forward to worship God. For all the years since I became a Christian, I have not missed a worship unless I'm sick. Unless I'm sick or I'm traveling for work or for other things. I come every week. So at work, my boss, well, when I was still an engineer, my boss sometimes sort of half joking, I think, said that, no, if you can get off your bed, you come to work. I said, yes, yes, sir. He's half joking. Most people don't do that. When they don't feel well, then they will just take a day off. Right? But he's so half joking. If you can get off your bed, you come to work. He's half joking too. But we have to look forward to worship God. and we have to repent if our heart is not looking forward to the worship every week, every day. So, a famous preacher by the name of Henry Beecher is a very famous preacher at that time. And one time I was invited to preach at a huge church in Brooklyn, New York. But that day, Howard Beecher cannot come. So he sent his brother, Thomas Beecher, on his behalf to speak at that church. So when the service started, so Thomas Beecher went up there and started explaining why his brother cannot come. So a lot of people came there to want to hear this famous preacher, Henry Beecher. And then he realized that he's not coming this morning. So instead, someone else, his brother. So a lot of people starting to leave. And fortunately, nobody left. It's too late to leave now. Sermon is almost over. So people start, I came here not to listen to this guy to preach. Why I came here to listen to Henry Beecher. So a lot of people start to leave. So Henry Beecher's brother said, okay, so all these people here who come here this morning to worship Henry Beecher, please leave now before we start the worship. But all those people who come here this morning to worship God, please stay. So this morning when we come here, is it because of our obligation? Because you have to, otherwise you may get a phone call from your pastor, where were you the last 4 weeks? No, you were not here. Well, are you okay? then your peers may ask you, yeah, haven't seen you for 4 weeks at the worship. But or you come here to worship God, you look forward to meet your Creator. You look forward to meet this God that's so close to you. You look forward here to, because He's like your Heavenly Father. We come here to worship because we want to worship our Creator. Famous Alliance pastor, Pastor Tosa, we must never rest until everything inside us worships God. Today on earth, there's a rehearsal for Christians to learn how to worship Him. Because when we get to heaven, that's the only ministry that we will have. Let's sing a song. Let's come and worship Him with our heart, our soul, our whole body. Let's come and worship Him.